Good morning. Today is Monday, March the 20th. Last day of winter, first day of spring, depending on how you want to look at things. Joining us this morning, Mr. Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Good morning, sir.
It is absolutely an honor to be here with you, and Brian is wearing a snowman tie. Yes.
Last day of winter.
Or is it first day of Christmas? No.
I think even the 13 days of Christmas are over now. Ange Pop noticed that too. I was wondering if anybody would. I'm shooting two for two now.
The snowman?
Yeah. That's all right.
There's a lot of snowman there.
That's not in reference to this body size it's trying to cover, is it?
No, the length of the tie.
Oh, the length of it. Okay, yeah, good, yeah, good, yeah. Good. Our quote this morning comes from Lily Tomlin. If you love the answer, could you please rephrase the question? Ain't that the truth sometimes, huh?
What was that? Would
you, No. Oh, boy. So with the stuff that's going on in Washington, D.C., and the potential stuff that's going on out of Washington, whether it's adjustments or changes or cutbacks or enhancements, what is the banking industry saying about this at this point? Is it still too early to tell?
Well, regardless of your politics, Trump has been very good for community banks. Under the previous administration, after the recession, remember we were talking about too big to fail and we wanted to break those banks up. And
after the recession?
Well, during the recession.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yet the policies that were put in place did the exact opposite. The big banks got bigger and community banks disappeared. And for example, a new bank has not started in California, Community Bank, since 2007. And they have been disappearing at a very rapid rate. But we're now seeing a resurgence, and we might even see some new community banks pop up in the state of California.
Because of the climate or because of the regulatory issues?
let me back up on the regulatory issues. They're talking about doing some things with Dodd-Frank and the Consumer Protection Agency. All of those things have really focused a lot of the burden on small banks as opposed to the big ones. What we're looking at probably, most likely scenario is that we would not see more regulation on us, but I doubt we'll ever see less regulation.
Status regulation.
Correct. If we at least slow down the growth of new regulation, it would be a positive. And you're seeing that in renewed interest in community banks by investors and some very positive things happening for community banks.
Any of it formal or just currently discussion phase?
It's discussion phase at this point, but at least we're hearing the things that will help community banks.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby. John, before the break, we were talking about some of the intimated changes that are changes that are being investigated, I guess, that may come into play that is resulting in the stock market going up. We've also seen the interest rate, the prime rate, go up as well. I know there's always rejoicing when that happens, as those with variable interest on their credit cards go, why is everybody celebrating here? Why is that good news?
Well, theoretically, and let's go back and look what happened, is this, the Federal Reserve has used interest rates as a way to either slow or heat up an economy based on what they need. And traditionally, it's always been the lowest possible rate was 1%, and that's the discount rate, the window rate. So the with the recession, not only did we go to 1%, but we went past it. We went all the way to 0 to 25 basis points, unprecedented. And then we have then the Federal Reserve came in and did QE 1, 2, and 3, in which they flooded money into the system trying to heat up the economy. So we've been on life support for a long time.
Now, that still hasn't been purged yet, has it?
No. None of that has been paid back from what I understand. So the raising rates now is at least a sign that the economy is starting to rebound. Now, for banks, depending on how they've positioned their balance sheet, it can be good or bad. So interest rate, we measure interest rate risk, and you're either asset sensitive, liability sensitive, which means absolutely nothing to people that I just spoke that to. What it means is if you're asset sensitive and rates rise, it's actually beneficial. If rates go down, it's harmful. If you're liability sensitive, if rates go up, it harms the bank, and vice versa. So
this is how the banks track themselves?
Right. So most banks, because we've been at the bottom of the market, have positioned themselves to be asset sensitive. So banks should perform better, theoretically, with rising rates. The downside is that we have had such low rates for so long that most businesses and consumers have grown accustomed to, 3, 4, 5% interest rates.
Reset norm.
Correct.
Or expectations.
Correct. And so with prime rising, hopefully businesses have not budgeted themselves or put them in a position where they can't afford the increase in interest rate if they are debt dependent. And those are my concerns, is, 0% interest has become, and I'm talking about the discount rate, has become the norm. And I worry about rising interest rates harming businesses and putting them in a bad position because we're so used to it being low.
Now, it didn't translate into credit too much. Most of the credit cards are still, 12 to 15 to 20%? Okay, so that meant that their hogs were a little bit fatter, a little bit slower walking. Okay, the real estate market would be, I would think, the initial area where you might see the impact. Is that fair or not?
Well, you're going to see a slowdown in refinances. I don't know that this rise in rates would keep somebody from buying a new home at this point, but there will become a rate in which people say, I'm not going to pay that rate and buy a new home.
Because we're still at the 1960s rate.
Right, until we get to, until the new rate becomes the norm and we become adjusted to it. And that could take some time because of how long rates were down.
Yeah, numbing to something takes a little while. Yeah.
On the flip side, savers, may start to see some decent rates. Now, we're still a long ways from
that. Not passbook.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We're still a long ways from seeing some normalization in depository rates because of the compression. And you could only take rates down so far, and then the margins compress. So as rates come up, it'll be a while before you see and a significant number more increases before you see anything material in depository interest rates.
So with all this happening at the federal level, if we bring it home, isn't it still about jobs?
I would like to say that. And unfortunately, the Federal Reserve probably doesn't look much at Humboldt County when it's making its decisions.
Certainly, but for us to participate or for us to not to participate, for us to rebound and get out of the trough for the muck and the mire or to stay there, it still is about jobs.
Okay,
and employment.
The recovery for us to move forward economically, yes, we need need more and better jobs. And I say better because we have migrated not only as a country, but significantly in our county, to tourism jobs that pay less. And so we've seen, you know, good jobs disappear at a significant rate as our primary industries have disappeared.
So, yeah. I don't think we want to be a microcosm or have the country be the microcosm of what we've experienced. Yeah. I think we're a net debtor county. Isn't that the way it would be said? Particularly with jobs. And we're importing more than we're producing is, unfortunately, is a change in our local community.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the John Dalby.
Thank goodness there's only one.
Yeah. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redek. Are you following anybody in the NC2As?
Oregon.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. I watched my first game last
Tertiary. Night. Yeah. I saw about a third of it. Got a buddy in Rhode Island who had sent a shirt, so I had the URI shirt on.
Oh, so you're the enemy.
Well, not anymore.
Well, we're no longer.
I'm the vanquished now.
We're no longer friends, by the way.
Yeah, it's over. It's gone.
Poor taste.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah, it would have been great, you know, if Oregon was still healthy and they had their full team to see how they could have done. But
yeah, if they had their big guy, it would be a different ballgame.
Yeah.
Obviously. Talking about the prime rate and some of the changes that are going on, you mentioned, John, about QE and QE2 and QE3. We heard a story last week that the hull of the QE is needing to be renovated. I would imagine the same thing with the monetary infusions into the system in America also needs some kind of addressing relatively quickly. How do you see that would be best addressed?
So it has to be done gradually and systematically over a significant period of time. And I don't know what that is, 5, 10 years. But it's certainly not something that if they were to pull that money out of the market rapidly, we would see a significant impact to the economy of the U.S.
Where is it?
Well, you mean where is the money? Yeah. Most of the money is actually held in surplus deposits in banks. And that's why we haven't seen the rampant inflation. There has banks now are sitting on, generally, banks are sitting on more deposits than what they can put out in loans. Another reason why the deposit rates are so low is the demand for deposits has waned.
So we're starting to see a turn
in that in the community banks now, as community banks now are being able to put more money out in loans.
So that's what goes out, and if that reservoir wasn't there, you would be unable to make as many loans?
No.
And that's where the grind happens?
No, the deposits are so far ahead of the loans, it'll be a long time before there's a funding issue.
Okay,
so there's no funding crisis if the issue becomes the amount of money that comes out of the market. My understanding is And I am not an economist, so you need to get somebody that really knows what they're talking about here. But from talking to economists, the net effect would be a substantial downturn in the market when we're talking about, you know, the stock market. And you could see it might trigger some other issues as far as slowing the economy. So they got to be very, very careful. But it's interesting that they're raising rates rather than reducing the QEs. And unfortunately, you know, in today's world, you wonder, okay, is this political or is this economic? And I don't know.
That was my follow-up question.
Oh, sorry.
So either way, now does that, is there more concern about, do you think, from the Fed and the governors of the interest rate or the QE2 and QE3 funds that have yet to be paid back? Which do you think is the razor edge that they're going to be focusing on?
Well, obviously, they're moving rates instead of doing something with QEs. Now, I will go in September and meet with the economists that I trust the most. Get an update from him on what's happening. He actually has direct access to the Federal Reserve Board, and so he gets a lot of the insight.
Real information?
Right, and yeah. I haven't talked to him in over a year, so a lot of my information is somewhat dated, the insight information that I've received in the past.
That would be interesting to see why one instead of the other, unless one is more sexy than the other. Okay, or take care of this and then start drawing down from another area. But we were hearing last week with a bump that there may be two or three this year, which seems like they would be totally ignoring the QE2 and QE3.
And we've heard the same thing, that those are the predictions that are coming out, that we might see as much two and maybe even three more this year.
So if it bumps another, let's say it's 1%. Quarter, and half.
Mm-hmm. It'll probably be quarter.
That's, I know what they were saying, right. But okay. What is that? Obviously, it signals something or reflects interpretation of something positive. Okay. What does that portend for the remainder of this year?
So the way I look at it is, I'm a simpleton. So imagine you're driving your car.
Many agree, by the way. Yeah, I know. It's not really controversial.
Yeah, you've talked to my staff. I understand. So, you know, imagine you're driving a car and you want to go. You want it to go faster and faster because the hill's getting steeper and steeper. So what do? You push further and further on the gas and it hits the floorboard. Well, that was in the 1% that the Feds could lower the rates. They went below the floorboard and then started pouring in QE 1, 2, and 3, which would be like nitrous oxide to get more power. We're limping along on life support, and we're now giving the Federal Reserve some room to speed up the economy if they need to.
So it's kind of resetting norm?
It'll be interesting to see what becomes the norm. I mean, prime of 8% is kind of the norm.
So there's still a long way
long to go. Ways to go.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could get there without pain? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time, 8:47. We're back to talk shop this morning with John Dalby. You're staring skyward.
Oh, I was just reading one of your signs on the wall.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Now, yeah.
Monthly EAS test. Good.
Yeah. Pregnant pause here.
Okay. Implementation of these changes that we've been talking about, John. Is there a fast track for this? Is it going to be as gradual as possible? Will it seep? Will it rush? What kind of sense? Is this a volatile year, or is this going to be more of a static year?
Well, let me give you my personal opinion on things. And that is, if you even go down the track of trying to reduce the regulation on banks or radio stations or hospitals or whatever it is, what will happen is you're not changing the inspector, in our case, the examiner. And so the examiner will come in and say, okay, no longer do you have to do X, but we see it as a best practice. And so even though it's not the law, we want you to do it anyway. And because they're the judge and jury on your examination, what do? You do it anyway. So,
here, let me rephrase. Implementation of the change in the culture associated with the change.
Well, that's where I'm going. What I'm saying is, nothing's really going to change for the banks, regardless of what Washington does. That's my opinion.
Unless there's staff buy-in, cultural change. I mean, you know,
right.
Saying
what I'm saying
is one thing,
is,
doing it and having everybody follow.
Yeah, what I'm saying is the bureaucracy won't change.
Yeah.
But what will happen is you won't get new regulations at least at the same pace that you have gotten them in the past.
So what will it take for the embracing of the change? Is it just time? Is it staff turnover? Is it periodic inspections by the brass? Is it pressure from the politically electeds to get it really to the point so that these changes are in effect?
It's even hard for me to fathom it happening. But yes, it would take the administration all the way down to the frontline people to come to an agreement that these things didn't have to be done, or to actually make it a law that you can't require that they be done.
That'll be interesting. I mean, we've seen it's only one thing, but we've seen now we don't have to keep a certain area in document that had historically been in place.
Okay. Something went away.
A little bit of change, yeah. And there's a couple of other things on the horizon.
And
so we'll
I see. Certainly hope I'm wrong.
But for everything else, we all hope that you are right. Thanks for coming in, bud. See everybody tomorrow.